J.B. Pritzker in the studio. First off, morning. It's good to see you again, man.
Good morning. Great to see you, Tom.
You know, I watched last night, and I really thought it was interesting. A wide variety of people at the Democratic Forum last night at SIU, and there was a lot of different ideas. I heard the word progressive a lot last night. But it's interesting. When I told people that you were coming in this morning in relationship to the progressive tax, one of our listeners wanted me to ask you a question. His name's Mike, and he says, define wealthy.
Yeah. Well, let's start with the issue of for too long in Illinois, the middle class and those striving to get to the middle class have had to pay too large a share of the revenue that goes to the state. And unfortunately, wealthy people are paying too small a share. You know that we're one of only seven states in the United States that has a flat income tax and only four states that have a constitutional requirement for a flat income tax. We're one of those four. And we've got to change that. It's just, it's not fair. You see on the federal level, there's a graduated income tax in virtually every other state,
Missouri,
income tax.
Indiana.
Everywhere. Even states where they have, you know, Republican governors and seem to be more conservative, perhaps, have a progressive income tax. And a progressive income tax is the right way to go because people who are wealthier can afford to pay it. People who are middle class and not, you know, and striving to get there can't. And so we need to change the system. It will help the economy if we change the system.
All right. So define wealthy for me in the progressive tax for your plan.
Well, I haven't put out the rates yet or what the break points are, but, you know, but I would just say this, that you know, corporations and wealthy individuals have the ability to step up to the plate, and it should be the case that if you're making $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year in Illinois, that you're not paying, you know, as much as somebody who makes $1 million.
The census report in 2000 stated the average income in Southern Illinois was $30,846. In 1999. It was $39,260. We've gone back by almost 25% the average income in Southern Illinois.
Things have to change. You know, I've said this from the very beginning of my campaign. You know, I started this campaign of actually coming to visit you
in the studio, yeah,
and talking to folks here in, you know, Marion and Carbondale and in Carterville, really traveling all around Southern Illinois and listening. That was the most important thing I thought I could do, was and listen to working families and what their challenges are. The kitchen table issues. And I talked about this last night. The kitchen table issues that are affecting people. Wages are stagnant. Cost of health care has gone up. Cost of sending your kid to college has gone up. And schools, you know, K-12 schools aren't as good. And, you know, we're not paying for them. So we got real challenges, right? And families are feeling it at the kitchen table. I want to address each one of those things. And in fact, my plans for the state include a focus on each one of those things. For example, and this is the big one. Under Bruce Rauner, almost no jobs have been created in the state of Illinois. I mean, fewer. And percentage-wise, fewer as well.
And then look at it, we pile this on for going from the fifth most populous state to sixth.
Exactly. But fewer than under Pat Quinn. Right? Bruce Rauner got elected. In theory, so people thought he'd create jobs. And he kept telling people in Southern Illinois, I'm going to be your best ally. Well, he hasn't been. Things have gotten much worse, and he hasn't done anything. He doesn't show up. He's not doing anything. So I have a real plan. So let me, if I may,
yeah.
I want to talk about the things that I think we can do. And this isn't about spending a whole bunch of money at the state level. This is about, you know, the direction of the state. How do we focus the state on job creation? So first thing we got to do is make sure that we're focused on the real job creators in Illinois. Two-thirds of all the jobs get created by small businesses and people who go risk it to start up a business. We need to help them. Nobody's on the side of small business people, and the state could be, and especially if you have a governor like me who's spent a lot of time with small business people, working with small businesses, creating small businesses. I've helped, I founded an incubator that's created more than 500 small businesses. 7,000 jobs have come out of that. We could do that all over the state. I think we should have a state small business loan fund, which doesn't require a lot of state money. There's a federal program for this, and we can get private dollars to come in. So we got that. We technical assistance, mentorship, all those things that are required to really get businesses off the ground. That's number one. Number two, infrastructure. Now, you might say, well, gee, where's the money for infrastructure going to come from? We have to invest in our infrastructure. Remember that Illinois is the supply chain hub of the nation.
More state highways than any other state in the union.
And people need to know that the roads and bridges and waterways are being invested in Illinois. And let me add this. I believe that we should have an infrastructure project, and we'll do this in a capital bill, focused on broadband, high-speed internet everywhere in the state. It can be done now, and it isn't terribly expensive to do, and it's time. You shouldn't have to drive around Southern Illinois and find out you can't connect.
Right now, though, somebody's saying, look, you guys are talking about progressive taxes. You guys are talking about, and the idea has been floated of 1.5 cents on a gallon and the progressive tax. And the word tax in Illinois right now has almost become synonymous with where's the border and running out of the state. How can you do these things while retaining our population?
Well, we have a problem. The tax system in Illinois is backward. So, one of the most regressive taxes that exists is property taxes. So if you live in a poorer neighborhood, you are actually paying the highest rate of taxes on your property. If you live in a wealthier neighborhood, you're paying a lower rate of tax on your property. That's not fair. You know, progressive taxes take into account that people who can afford to pay are the ones who pay more, and people who can't afford to pay, pay less. That's why we need to change the system, because that's how it should work. We need to stand up for working families. That's what I intend to do as my administration. It's putting Springfield back on the side of working families.
Can we get property tax relief in this state?
Yes, we can. And the way to do it is to get a progressive income tax, which is a fair tax, again, lowering income taxes on middle-class families and raising them on wealthier families. And then we can have property tax relief, which is, you heard me say this in the debate last night. I'd like to repeat it. About a quarter of all the money that goes to schools in Illinois comes from the state, and three-quarters from local property taxes.
Right.
That's why your property taxes are so high. In the average state in the United States, half comes from the state and half comes from local property taxes. We need to get more like the average state. We're not even average. In fact, we're 50th out of 50 states in terms of our state government funding of education.
All right. One of the items is the politics of politics. All right. You've got the practical applications, the things that you were just speaking about. But in the campaign, this desire by the Rauner administration to link you directly to Mike Madigan. Your thoughts, sir?
Well, I'm the most independent person that's running. In fact, I have one opponent who voted for Mike Madigan for speaker. That's Senator Daniel Biss. I've got another opponent who, and by the way, Biss ran his super PAC, Mike Madigan's super PAC. And then I've got another opponent, Chris Kennedy, who chased around Mike Madigan, sending him letters and asking him to support him when he was thinking about running for Congress, running for Senate, running for governor, et cetera. In contrast, I'm somebody who has been independent my whole life. That's not going to change when I become governor. And I want you to understand, I disagree with Mike Madigan on some very important things that I'd like to point out. I think there should be leadership term limits. I don't think people should serve for as many years as he has. I think that there should be independent map drawing so that you have more competitive elections in the state of Illinois.
The gerrymandering. Yeah.
And I'm certain that the speaker doesn't agree with me about either one of those things. But here's the important thing. Unlike Bruce Rauner, I intend to go work with whoever the leadership is in Springfield. If it ends up being Jim Durkin or a Republican as speaker, or it ends up being somebody else as speaker or the president of the Senate, I will work with them to make sure that we're standing up for working families. I'm not going to work for any of them. The important thing is I'm going to work for the people of the state.
All right. We talked about progressive taxes, but when you look into the Constitution, it says no. What will have to be done to implement your plan for progressive taxes with the Constitution? I think it was attempted, 1938. And they didn't get it done. I mean, they say you're going to crack open the Constitution and change it in Illinois. Is that the way you see it?
Well, you don't have to crack open the whole Constitution. You can have a constitutional amendment in the state of Illinois without opening every issue.
Right.
It needs a supermajority vote in the House and the Senate, and then it goes to a referendum.
Think that's the way to go about this, to get this done?
I do, and it can get done. It absolutely can get done. But you've got to have a governor, a candidate for governor, who's actually running on it, who's explaining it to people and making sure they understand this isn't raising taxes on middle-class families. In fact, it'll lower taxes on middle-class families.
All right, here's a question. It's not a question. It's a statement. We're broke. $1 billion in late payments alone. The recent new transparency numbers we saw the debt number, and I think it's intellectually dishonest because we just borrowed $10 billion, and I think that should be included when we look, because we got to pay it back.
I'd point out you wouldn't even know that without Susana Mendoza.
Yeah, the Transparency
right. Act, yeah.
What do you do about things like universal health care, one of your plans, in a state that is broke?
OK, Okay. So let me explain my plan. I have opponents who have plans that might cost $80 billion a year. My own proposal doesn't cost the taxpayers a dime, and yet it helps us expand health care across the state. I do want universal health coverage in this country and think we should go for it. But here's what I've proposed. It's actually, I don't know if you remember, a bunch of years ago when President Obama was in office, he proposed as part of the Affordable Care Act something called the public option. And the idea was that people could buy a public health insurance policy, one that is essentially the existing state healthcare plan.
Mandate an insurance plan for universal health? Do you have to
do that? It's not mandated. Okay. The whole idea is you can choose to either buy your private insurance policy, get one through your employer. Your employer can choose also to go into this state health insurance plan. It already exists. It's Medicaid. Right. And the idea is that you can buy into that system for several thousand dollars less than you can get a private health insurance plan. So it actually cuts costs for middle class families, puts a couple thousand dollars back on the kitchen table. And for people who don't have health insurance today and aren't covered by Medicaid because they don't qualify, but they're not quite middle class, they're not quite getting a private insurance plan, they can buy into it for several thousand dollars less than they would buy a private insurance plan. So it's much less costly and doesn't cost the taxpayers, much less costly for families, I'm saying, and doesn't cost the taxpayers anything.
One of the things you're going to have to battle with this is the skepticism. It'll have to be an educational process to get that done, because that level of participation, willing participation with the wallet, is going to be one of the things, you know, that because everybody's thinking this is like a third rail. You touch it and it's going to hurt. It's going to burn you. And getting people through an educational funnel on that, I see, is probably one of your biggest challenges. You know, it strikes me many times when watching you campaign and your messaging that you're running three races. And I'm a big fan of military thought, so I like to fight one battle on one front. But it very often seems, when I watch your messaging and read about you, you're fighting a front in Washington, fighting a front in Springfield, and then fighting a large field of Democratic contenders for the primary. You're fighting multiple wars, different fronts.
Well, I've certainly said that from the beginning. I want to say just one other thing about our previous thought, which was, you know, I as you know, I've tried to get some big things done during the course of my life. And each one of those things that I've gotten done, like expanding school breakfast to 230,000 more kids and thousands of kids getting early childhood education and good quality child care, creating thousands and thousands of jobs. In all those cases, just like the idea of expanding health care in the state of Illinois, yeah, you've got to show people that it will work. You've got to talk to people and convince them that you can get it done. But in each case, I've done that. I've brought people together to try to convince them. You're talking about the multi-front war.
Right, multi-front war.
You
think that's too militaristic?
Because
sports in Illinois, politics is full contact.
Yes, it is. There's no beanbag, right? Be clear. I knew coming into this race that, you know, Bruce Rauner is the 800-pound gorilla. And so I knew, even though I was running in a primary, that I had to run simultaneously a general election campaign. So I've been doing that. You know, every day, I think you've seen, you know, I've pointed out that Bruce Rauner has been a failed governor. People haven't paid enough attention until we got into the race, you know, back in April. And every single day you'll get an email from me. If you're not on that list, I'll put you on it. You know,
I get one every day.
It's called Crisis Creating Rauner.
I do. Get it every day.
It's a website too. And it tells you every day the things that Bruce Rauner is doing to make lives harder for working families across the state of Illinois. So we're running that front, as you point out.
Right.
Of course, you know, I believe that we should have a governor that stands up to the mistakes, the problems, the challenges that are brought by the Trump administration. So I've been very vocal about the fact that when they're wrong in Washington, you need a governor who's willing to call it out and protect people in Illinois. When Trump wants to take away health care from a million people in the state of Illinois, and that's what he's proposed, that you should have a governor who stands up and says that's wrong and joins with the other governors, including Republican governors, to stand up and say, Donald Trump, don't do that. You know, we're going to protect our citizens. So, yes, that's a second front. And then your last point you're raising is, you know, there are five other candidates running in the Democratic primary. And, you know, I've run a campaign that's focused on my values and what I believe needs to be done to stand up for working families across the state of Illinois. That means standing up for our labor unions, because I do believe in labor unions. I think that they have collective bargaining rights that need to be protected. I'm against right to work. We need to raise wages in the state if we can, you know, and I believe that.
Well, you know, we just talked
about that. We've got to create jobs to do that.
That $9,000 per year average drop, but in just 9 years.
And so you got to create jobs in order to raise wages. That's the most important thing you can do. And I've done more than any other candidate, including Bruce Rauner. I've created thousands and thousands and thousands of jobs in the state of Illinois. I know I can do that across the state. So that multi-front war you're talking about, I'm the only candidate in the Democratic primary that's created jobs, the only one. And I'm the only candidate that put out a real plan for expanding health care that's within the means of our state budget.
Right.
And the only candidate that's really talked about how do you balance a budget in the state of Illinois.
Which is a real task, apparently. You got to find out which book you got to balance first.
It's true, but I
seriously.
Let me say that Southern Illinois gets left out of the conversation far too often. And the one thing you hear, you know, we have the same issues wherever you go in the state, right? There are jobs, there are quality education for every child, and health care, right? But it is here, everywhere that I go here in Southern Illinois, the number one issue for people is jobs. No one's creating jobs here in Southern Illinois. I know I can do that. I know we can do that for the state. And here in Southern Illinois, most importantly, if we can attract businesses, you need a governor to attract businesses to the state. And to here in Southern Illinois, you need a governor who's not bad-mouthing the state every day. And he does that. He invites governors from surrounding states to bad-mouth the state on TV. And then he goes to Asia, bad-mouths the state. Even when Amazon HQ2 is looking at coming to the state, he bad-mouths the state. You need somebody who's going to actually market the best thing about this state, which is our highly educated, highly dedicated workforce.
Sorry I kept you so long. I promised I was going to get you out earlier, but I abused your goodwill.
No, thanks, Tom. I really enjoy being here with you.